remember what day it is today.
25th.
I don't even have to have Char bring me my iPad when
okay,
we get to scheduling.
On, I think. The lamp is not working.
All right. You got sound, David? All right, thank you. All right, good morning, everyone. It's a little after 10 o'clock, and we're going ahead to start our regular scheduled commission meeting. It is Wednesday, September 25th. I don't have any particular opening comments, just to thank everyone for coming today. It's another nice day in North Dakota. Commissioner Christman or Commissioner Fedorchuk?
Well, your last closing line there kind of took what I was going to say.
We're having technical difficulties here.
Christmas lights are on now?
I believe so.
I had to make a little drive yesterday out in the country, and the last week of September, has North Dakota ever been more beautiful than it is this year? It's incredible out there.
Nice and green.
Good meeting today. Lots of agenda topics, and looking forward to it.
Perfect. Commissioner Fedorchuk?
I don't have any weather-related or other comments.
All right. We have a few items on consent, and before I move passage, I'm going to ask that we hold over consent BK1. It's dealing with the post-construction inspection on a project we've not yet approved. So for this particular case, I think we'll just hold off on this one. We've been aggressive making sure we don't have the construction contracts fall too far behind, but we don't want to get them too far ahead of actual the project decision. So I'd move passage of the items on consent with the exception of item consent BK1.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Are there further discussions? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Daryl. So, Esther, if you can please make sure we don't sign that one for us. Thank you. Okay, we get to the regular scheduled agenda. Item BK1. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusion of law, and order amending corridor certificate number 139 and route permit number 152 to authorize corridor and route modifications for 5 segments of the Northern State Power Company's Fargo to St. Cloud, Minnesota, 345 kV electric transmission project in Cass County, North Dakota, case number PU07759.
Second.
In September of 2012, the commission adopted a finding of fact, conclusion of law, and order approving a route and corridor for the Fargo to St. Cloud 345 kV CapEx 2020 transmission line and further issued NSP the appropriate documentation. A little background on this line. There's 33 miles of this line included in North Dakota, and the remainder goes down to the St. Cloud area. This was, quite honestly, a very, very long process getting through the CapEx 2020 decision. We had hearings out there. It's always challenging to cite power lines. The project was approved, and everything was going along. And as the company got to getting to, I guess, more detailed landowner discussion, once the landowners got a better look at it, we had 5 different modifications that came back. And basically what it did was these modifications were modifications that were outside the corridor. So we wanted to make sure we gave folks the opportunity to comment if they wanted to. So we set up an opportunity for comments, potential notice of file, a notice of informal hearing. No one particularly requested a hearing, but we did have an informal hearing September 11th of this year in the commission room. And I guess for me personally, the concern was that this is a very complex, controversial project to start with. So when we go back looking at modifications, really wanted to make sure that we gave folks the opportunity to comment about these modifications, that we really understood what we were doing, because they were outside the initial corridor. And really what it came down to is there was 5 different relocates, one in Durbin Township, moving some poles anywhere from 38 to 112 feet, another area inside Durbin Township, moving poles anywhere from 50 to 90 feet, and then one case there was a shift that actually moved the power lines to the east about 1,000 feet that actually removed poles. So really what it was down to the micro siting, and when you got into the details of the actual application and the discussion we had in the informal, all affected landowners along the route supported the modifications. They actually requested it. It's going to include a cost savings to the company because we're going to have a few less poles. We double-checked with State Historical Society and all the agencies. But this is a case, I think, that really worked out really well where we were able to stay within the law, make sure we got the lot landowners what they were hoping for, and we did not take any shortcuts to make sure there was always the process in there for the public to stay involved because of the background of this case and all the cases. But to highlight once again, all the affected landowners were in agreement with this as they actually requested it. I think this is a good way to show that the process works when everybody follows the procedure.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I would just add, I know that there's been some outages in Fargo of late in the NSP territory. I've been hearing about them from some customers, some of whom happen to be my sisters, and a fair amount of frustration with that. And while I don't know that this project will improve those issues, the transmission is an important issue relating to reliability, and I have to believe that this line is going to help improve the service in Fargo. So it was controversial at the time of approval, and it's difficult to get these projects done, but they are really important, and they're going to serve that community well long term. So I'm pleased that this project is proceeding. I think construction is moving along quite efficiently, and I'm hoping to get out there later on in October to take a look at it personally and see how it's coming along.
And absolutely, to add to Commissioner Fedorchuk, this is absolutely a reliability line. It's going to beef up reliability in that whole Fargo, Cass County region. And it's not just Xcel Energy that's going to benefit from this. This is a shared line that it'll be Xcel Energy. It'll be Minn Kota Powers, which would be Cass County Electric. I mean, this is a line that a lot of people have vested interest in, and it's going to be an anchor line for this region for many years to come.
And, you know, with that being said, it just opens up an opportunity from the other perspective of the landowners here. Not only are we allowing something to be constructed that's useful and important to a lot of people, but to those people impacted by it, this example of even after the project was approved and they had the authority to push through, when working with the landowners, they were able to find some ways to do some things to make it less of an inconvenience for those landowners. The company was willing to work with them, obviously. As regulators, we're not holding it up and making it a miserable thing for the company to work with them. And this is the kind of thing that I think is why North Dakota works.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Darrell. Item BK2. I move the Commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusion of law, and order issuing Certificate of Site Compatibility Number 34 to Elite Inc., authorizing construction of its proposed Bison 4 wind project in Oliver County, North Dakota, case number PU-13-127.
Second.
In March of this year, Minnesota Power, a division of Elite, submitted a letter of intent and asked for a Certificate of Site Compatibility for a wind farm of up to 210 megawatts. This would be considered the Bison 4 wind project, consisting potentially of up to 70 turbines. This is the case that we initially had a hearing set for August 21st, and there was a snafu in the notice, so the commission had to reschedule the hearing till September 13th. We were up in Oliver County on September 13th. We had the hearing with the company. Elite is a company and certified in good standing with North Dakota. The wind farm will be located approximately 10 miles northwest of the city of New Salem. The amount of power that turned out at the end of the day is 204.8 megawatts of 64 turbines. The project average annual energy output is estimated to be 835,000 megawatt hours per year. Now, this is not base load, but that is certainly a lot of power that's going to be available into the grid. They'll be using 3.2 megawatt turbines, which is, again, the largest turbine that we've seen. The efficiency of these turbines continues to increase. They will be using the local substation for the interconnect, the Tri-County substation. The project is estimated to cost $345 million. One of the things that came out during the hearing was in order for the company to comply with the production tax credit, they have to start construction this year. And so we asked some questions about what defines starting construction. And for sure, if they're pouring footings, that starts constructions. But if they start road work, some believe that can actually be defined as construction. So it's interesting how the way the law is structured with the production tax credit, that the company will have to do some work this fall, but they do anticipate having this in operation by early 2015, and I suspect they've already started construction. As soon as we make this motion, they'll be ready to go. A couple other things on this project. We received concurrence back from the North Dakota State Historical Society that they concur that this project has no significant impact. We heard back from the North Dakota Geological Survey that there are no viable lignite coal reserves underneath the project. One of the things that we've always been concerned about is you don't put wind turbines on top of big coal reserves because you could be setting yourself up for some challenges. They're going to have an avian and bat protection plan. They have a legal obligation to decommission the wind facilities. We actually have some motions coming up later on that. And everything appears to be in order on this. I just would add for a little bit of additional information that now with the Bison 1, 2, 3 wind farms are a total of 292 megawatts. If this project is approved, which I hope it is, that'll be 495 megawatts of the Bison 1 through 4 project in this area. And with the addition of Oliver County's other wind farms of 50 megawatts and 48 megawatts, it's going to be roughly 600 megawatts of wind power in the Oliver County area. So this is getting to be a very, very large energy-producing area for wind, and it already is a very, very large energy-producing area for coal. So everything appears to be in order, and I encourage my colleagues to vote for it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I would just like to say we had a hearing in the community, and the community was very supportive. There was a lot of people that attended, and everyone was speaking in favor of this project. They have experience with wind here, so they're speaking from experience. I think that says a lot about the company's work there and the support of the community for wind development. And that's a good thing because it sounds to me like Oliver County might be the wind capital of North Dakota. I'd be interested in knowing, Jerry, if they are. They are the most. So great. So that's all for me. Thanks.
I'm guessing they probably have the most wind power without Bison 4. But I was pretty impressed with their application in the way they've done their modeling and the impacts that they're going to have on neighbors and such. And I think they have really tried to be accommodating and have set these up to not just barely cross under a line, but to really be as accommodating as possible to the neighbors. And I think that's why we're not hearing complaints from Bison 1, 2, and 3, nor for the application on 4.
Is there further discussion? Since none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Daryl. Item BK3. I move the commission adopt the order issuing certificates of public convenience and necessity numbers 5819 and 5820 to Montana Dakota Utility Company and Otter Tail Power Companies, respectively, for their joint participation in the North Dakota portion of a proposed Ellendale to Big Stone 145 kV electric transmission line and associated facilities in Dickey County, North Dakota, case numbers PU13272 and PU13-273.
Second.
The little background in this case is this is actually the roughly 10 miles that will be potentially constructed in North Dakota of an overall project from Ellendale to Big Stone, which will be up to 170 miles. Initially, we didn't exactly know where the company was going to go, if most of the route would be in North Dakota or it would be in South Dakota. The company is now has determined they're going to run basically straight south of Ellendale into South Dakota and then go across the state. So we'll be having future hearings, I suspect, in the actual siting of this line, but this is for the PCNN. A little bit of background, I guess. In June of this year, the companies filed the application. In July of this year, we consolidated the cases because MDU and Otter Tail are going to be sharing this transmission line. It is a very important line. In addition to the CapEx lines we talked about earlier, the Big Stone to Ellendale line is an MVP project as part of the MISO overall goal of increasing reliability in this region. Their studies in this started back in 2005, and this is really a big step forward for North Dakota. It's going to help reduce some of the congestion, which we initially planned as having electricity leave the state, but quite honestly, with needing 2,000 megawatts of more energy in the western part of the state, these transmission lines could be used at some point in time to bring energy from the east to the west, which we normally don't see in North Dakota. The overall cost of the project is anywhere from $293 to $370 million, and I would say that's the cost of the entire line. The North Dakota portion of that is roughly 0.49% for MDU and 0.3% for Otter Tail. If we use the MDU rate of, let's say the project ends up being around $300 million, it'd be roughly $1.5 million is what it would cost the MDU customers spread across their load. But what I think is really important about these MISO projects is they're very, very important projects that everyone involved in MISO chips in with the cost of them. So North Dakota gets a huge benefit because we're just going to have a little bit of this line that's going to actually be in North Dakota, but we're going to have access to a much larger world for what I consider very low cost. And as long as the cost allocation of how they do MISO costing and transmission lines stays the same, I think this will be a very good opportunity for North Dakota customers for a long time. So I believe everything is in order. I look forward to a positive vote. Thank you.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Well, we're talking about a lot of really substantial projects today, really significant investments in our state, and I think it's worth noting and thinking about how North Dakota is an energy-producing state. That's one of our main resources here. And the infrastructure for sharing and selling that resource is the electric grid. And our electric grid is like the highway for electricity. And we need a few more lanes in that highway, I believe. And this project is going to do that. It's kind of like Bismarck's Washington Street. It's congested right now. We need more lanes. We maybe need another alternative route. And this is one of those projects where it's very short, but it leads to another very substantial route out of the state and into the state. So this is an exciting project. And it positions North Dakota, this and some of the other projects we're talking about today, really position our state in a much stronger place for energy production, delivery, and a receipt of energy to support our industry.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Darrell. All right, the next four motions are similar, but I will go through all of them. For item BK4, the Basin Electric Minot Wind Project, having been in operation for 10 years and subject to the provisions of North Dakota Century Code 490227 and North Dakota Administrative Code 690909, I move the Commission open an investigation requiring the owner/operator of the project to submit updated decommissioning information within 30 days for commission review in order to determine the adequacy of the decommissioning plan and whether bonding or other financial assurance is needed to cover anticipated costs of decommissioning.
Second.
This is the first time the commission has done this. When those that set forth the rules on wind decommissioning and wind use in the state, they really envisioned at some point in time the commission would spend more time going through the decommissioning plans and basically the way the rules ended up saying the commission may require bonding or other financial assurances after 10 years. So that's really the tick, that the 10 years has passed since this particular project was put into service. So the three of us had significant discussion about how best to do this, and this is our first look at it. But these are the two wind farms, the ones that are in the Minot area. There's two Nordics 1.3 megawatt turbines. They're the ones with the blue base, if you will, you'll see going into Minot. And they've been in operation since 2002. So they initially filed their decommissioning plan, which talks about how they're going to decommission with the assets that they have. And so what the commission is going to do is we've given them with this motion 30 days to update the plan that was filed initially, and then we'll proceed forward. And I guess I'm envisioning that we would do at least some type of informal discussion. But if during that informal discussion one of the commissioners or someone else wants a formal hearing, then we would then move forward to a formal hearing. So I think this is a good step forward, a very needed step forward. As Commissioner Fedorchak was talking earlier, we're building our energy infrastructure to meet the needs, but you have to make sure that at some point in time when these turbines have to come down that you can put this land back into full ag production, that we have the resources available to do that. So I think this is a needed step, and I look forward to seeing how this plays out.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I'll add to those comments as well. I'm feeling kind of windy today, I guess. But again, North Dakota is an energy-rich state in an energy-dependent world. And so whether it's transmitting the energy or producing it whether it's traditional, renewable, when we're done producing the energy, we need to take every step we can to return the land in the area to its as close to its original state as it once was. And this is an effort to do that. So I think we're appropriately looking at how best to return wind energy production facilities and the areas around it to their original state. And I'm looking forward to this new project that the Commission has never embarked on.
Is there further discussion?
Yes, I will just add, decades ago, Governor Art Link was credited appropriately with a great quote, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was in regards to when coal mining stops, the need to make sure that the land is restored and that future generations will certainly appreciate that. And what's unfortunately too often forgotten is that State Senator Bob Straub, District 33, was a big push in that same regard, and they did a lot to make sure that we have the coal mining activity we have now. It's possible, it's achievable, it's affordable, and yet that land is going back to its original use when everything stops. And I think our generation, with the explosion of wind energy that we've seen, carries that same responsibility in this regard to make sure that these hills are restored someday. And so I think we're on the right track here to do this investigation.
Yeah, just one final comment for me. Right now, our rules say 10 years till we can review this. It says we may install bond or financial assets after 10 years. One of the outcomes I think will come out of this is that after we review these initial batch of decommissioning plans, we may look at if these plans have changed a lot, maybe that needs to come down to do it after 5 years, maybe 3 years. If they'd be in great shape, maybe it goes the other way. But I think that's one of the outcomes that I hope to get, is to see if that 10-year mark was the right place to start.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK5, the Edgley Calm Wind Project, having been in operation for 10 years and subject to the provisions of North Dakota Century Code 490227 and North Dakota Administrative Code 690909, I move the Commission open an investigation requiring the owner-operator of the project to submit updated decommissioning information within 30 days for Commission review in order to determine the adequacy of the decommissioning plan and whether bonding or other financial assurance is needed to cover anticipated costs of decommissioning.
Second.
Thank you, Julie. This farm is the FPL farm that's 40.5 megawatts in the Edgley area. What also is unique is that the Commission never cited these wind farms, and so the siting threshold has changed over the years from less than 100 megawatts to 60 megawatts, and now we're down to, I think, basically 1 megawatt. But the previous one and this one are less than the siting threshold at the time, so the Commission did not have to cite them. But we did always have the jurisdiction for decommissioning, so that's where it'll be. It's really the Commission's first chance to look at these plans. So this one, 40.5 megawatts, Florida Power, in the Edgley area, and similar to the other motion, we'll be looking at the decommissioning plan.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK6. The Edgley Calm Wind Project, having been in operation for 10 years and subject to provisions of North Dakota Century Code 490227 and North Dakota Administrative Code 690909, I move the Commission open an investigation in requiring the owner-operator of the project to submit updated decommissioning information within 30 days for Commission review in order to determine the adequacy of the decommissioning plan, whether bonding or other financial assurance is needed to cover anticipated costs of decommissioning.
Second.
Just a note, when I was reviewing these, I noticed that they're both, this and the previous motion, are started out as the Edgley Calm Wind Project. The previous motion, item BK5, is case number PU 13-794. And this order, this motion, is case number PU 13-795, so the same identifier, but of course different case numbers. This is dealing with a 21-megawatt wind farm also in the Edgeley area. Everything appears to be in order as well. They've got 30 days to file their updated decommissioning plan. And this one will be of particular interest to me because in their initial plan, second page, the cost of decommissioning will be paid for using funds obtained from internally generated cash flows. So it'll be curious to see what exactly that means when the company updates their plan. If they leave it the same, I look forward to a very thorough hearing as to what they mean exactly by that sentence. So everything appears to be in order.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion?
I wanted to ask about the 30 days. How did we settle on 30 days?
In the discussion I had with our legal team is that we wanted to pick something that put the company on notice. You have X amount of time. And the goal, we picked 30 days. We figured it would be realistic for the company to do that. And I was hopeful that we could make a decision before December 31st for these cases because, you know, hopefully for next year's batch of wind farms, we'd start earlier. But since this is the first time, we really didn't get a look till September. So we could adjust that, but it seemed like a good first start.
I appreciate the goal of finishing by the end of the year. 30 days, just from the company's standpoint, I mean, are they really going to do much work on the plan in 30 days, or do we just expect them to kind of dust it off and submit what they've already sent?
In our discussion was it's up to the company, and if a company would come back and say they wanted more time, I don't think I'd have a problem giving them more time. But if they're doing what we hope they will do, they've looked at this. But sure, they come back and say we want more time, I think that'd be reasonable to entertain.
Yeah, because I do hope that they're really looking at the plans and considering them in the current environment and their current business operations and considering whether this is the most relevant plan now or if it needs to be changed.
Sure. Is there any further discussion? Since seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. And finally, I actually have one more after this. Item BK7, the Valley City Wind Project and Petersburg Wind Project, having been in operation for 10 years and subject to the provisions of North Dakota Century Code 490227 and North Dakota Administrative Code 690909, I move the Commission open investigation requiring the owner-operator of the project to submit updated decommissioning information within 30 days for Commission review in order to determine the adequacy of the decommissioning plan and whether bonding or other financial assurance is needed to cover anticipated costs of decommissioning.
Second.
This is case number PU 13-796. It's dealing with two 900 kilowatt turbines, one which is east of Petersburg and the one which is east of Valley City. The company has submitted their initial decommissioning plans, and their summary of decommissioning really talks about the planning on using the salvage value to cover the cost. So to point of Commissioner Fedorchek's recent point and Commissioner Crispin's initial point, it'll be really nice to see if they can put some more rationale behind how they're going to make this all pencil out and the actual resources that they're predicting will be available. And that's one thing that I anticipate will be a point of discussion is when we go through the coal mines bonding, there's a very, very thorough formula that's developed to make sure all those assets are available. So I think that's part of the drill that we're going to go through now is when the company talks about they're going to use their assets to cover the cost, if that's actually going to be able to cover the cost and how we would evaluate what those might be 20, 30 years from now. So everything appears to be in order. This just is going to be a very, very challenging opportunity, I think.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Darrell. Now, this is my final motion. I still don't come close to Commissioner Crispin's 18 motions two meetings ago. item BK8, believing that there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest and finding the cases involve similar questions of law and fact, I move the Commission consolidate under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 6902.0404 and Northern State Power Company's applications for advanced determination of prudence, Courtenay Wind Project, case number PU 13706, Odell Wind Project, case number PU13707, Pleasant Valley Wind Project, case number PU13-708, Border Winds Projects, case number PU13742, and Northern State Power Company's 150-megawatt Border Winds Project, Rolet County, North Dakota, Public Convenience Necessity, case number PU13743, and issue a notice of consolidated hearing.
Second.
Okay, let's walk through this a little bit. In July of this year, NSP filed an application for advanced termination of prudence for the following projects: a power purchase agreement for the 200-megawatt Courtenay Wind Project to be located in Stutsman County, North Dakota, a proposed power purchase agreement for a 200-megawatt Odell Wind Project to be located near Mountain Lake, Minnesota, a proposed 200-megawatt Pleasant Valley Wind Projects existing near NSP's existing Grand Meadow Wind Farm in southeast Minnesota, and later on August of this year, they filed an application for advanced termination of prudence in case number PU13742 to purchase the proposed Border Wind Project to be located in Rolet County, North Dakota. The public hearing on this on these applications is scheduled to begin October 31st of this year at 8:30 a.m. in this commission hearing room. We've scheduled 2 days of hearings for these cases. And things we need to look at are they reasonable and prudent? Will the proposed investment actually benefit the company and its members? But I guess just a little background around this. We're currently in the middle of the siting process for the 200-megawatt Courtenay Wind Farm. So it's interesting, anyone listening out there, this is a separate request that the company has asked for advanced termination of prudence to whether they should be able to obtain this resource for the company. So that'll be a separate decision. And we've consolidated these cases, but they really all, we've consolidated them because they all are the same type of issue where the company is going out to either do purchase power from a wind farm or actually to require a wind farm. So we're going through the siting in the Courtenay Wind Farm, which is different than this because this addresses the used and useful portion of it. So, I look forward to a very thorough hearing on this. We've just finished the NSP rate case, and these wind farms came up in the rate case, but they certainly were not part of the rate case. But we did have some discussion around some wind farms that are involved in the current rate case. That's a separate venue discussion, but it's very challenging sometimes to keep the different jurisdictions of the commission separate. But I will say this, is that we've scheduled 2 days of hearings because I anticipate these to be very thorough and intense hearings, because this is a lot of wind for the company to be buying. And I anticipate a lot of questions about how this is going to tie into reliability, about why they're buying these. And one of the things that's always been a point of contention for me is the ADP law that says the commission may do something, not we shall do something. So these are a different set of facts that may be considered when it looks to making a decision. It's not like a rate case where the law says very clearly that a company can come in and they are required to get a certain return for what they've invested. This is strictly the commission may do it. So in previous ADPs, I think I've always voted favorably on them, and I certainly haven't made any decisions on this one. But I'll tell you that this is a lot of wind to be dumping in at one time, and so I just prepped the company that there'll be a lot of questions about this one.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I do have a question, or just to make sure that we're clear on this. I have no objection to combining these and having the one hearing, but we're just combining the hearing process. We are still going to address each of these separately, I am under the belief.
Absolutely. I think there'll be, and I can't speak for the company, but this is, we can run back through our legal team to make sure the hearing's set up that way. In previous cases, they'll give an overall why they're looking for, what they're looking for, the resource, and then they'll walk through each particular one. But it should be noted that this one is a little bit different, that the first three are purchase power agreements, the Courtenay Wind Farm, Odell Wind Farm, and Pleasant Valley. The fourth one is an ADP and a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, because the company is looking at purchasing the proposed Border Wind Project in Rolet, North Dakota. So the first three, they're just going to buy power. The fourth one, they want to buy the actual wind farm. And so there will be other issues that I think might come out of the fact that the fourth case, that they're going to actually own this resource, potentially. And we also have separate hearings on that, or separate proceedings, because there's a transfer that may be required on this. So this is a lot of touch points for these wind farms.
I'm glad we have a number of days scheduled for these hearings, because I agree they're going to be, there's a lot to consider here. This is a lot of wind. And the question with ADP is, are these purchases in the best interest of the customers? So that's what I'll be looking at really closely, is how are customers being served by this? What's driving these purchases? Is it demand? Is it reliability? What's the advantages of having the wind in the mix of the fuels if it isn't being driven by demand? So it's going to be an interesting couple of days of hearings, and I look forward to learning more about what the company is thinking in purchasing these wind from these projects.
Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. That concludes the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Christman.
Mr. Chairman, RC1, I move the Commission present the 2013 North Dakota Award for Excellence in Surface Coal Mining and Reclamation to Mr. John Dwyer.
Second.
Many years ago, the PSC adopted an award program in the North Dakota Award for Excellence in Surface Coal Mining and Reclamation, which sets out criteria for the Commission to present a Coal Mining and Reclamation Award during the Lignite Energy Council's annual meeting. The award would be presented to Mr. Dwyer under the Science, Engineering, and Education category to recognize his work over the years to enhance public awareness of the multiple benefits of mining and the success of mined land reclamation in North Dakota. Mr. Dwyer's work began with the lignite mining and reclamation in the late 70s, shortly after the Federal Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act of 1977 was enacted. Mr. Dwyer just returned to North Dakota from working with the Department of Interior in Washington, D.C., and also for former Congressman Mark Andrews. The Commission hired him to work with staff on writing new laws and rules that would be consistent with the Federal Reclamation Act. Mr. Dwyer then took over as president of the Lignite Energy Council in 1981 to promote policies and activities that maintain a viable lignite industry in North Dakota. While promoting and working to grow lignite industry, Mr. Dwyer has remained steadfast in his support of North Dakota's strong reclamation law and takes pride in the mining company's top-notch reclamation results and their excellent environmental history. I will say, just from a more personal standpoint, when I really first worked with Mr. Dwyer, we actually started off in a rather adversarial moment and got off really on the wrong foot. And, you know, sometimes in life those kinds of starts can be difficult to overcome. But having gotten to know him and work with him on many, many projects over the years, most of them on the same side, a few times on opposite sides, I will just say personally, if you can't hardly find a person who is more dedicated to his family and his state and his country and his co-workers, and I have really felt honored over the last two decades to work with him and all he's done for not only Lignite and North Dakota, but for his country. Many people don't realize he was a JAG officer in the National Guard for many years, and I'm really proud that we're presenting this, if we choose to do that.
I think it's a very fitting award for an impressive guy who's just done a lot of good in our state. I'm just surprised that we hadn't already given it to him, so I'm thrilled that we can present it to him now at this time in his career. It seems very appropriate.
The only thing I would add is the next week is the actual, I think, isn't it next week is the actual meeting?
Yes.
And so I've got a conflict somewhere else, so it's fitting that Commissioner Christman will be presenting the award since he's got the long background. And I wonder how long it took you to come around to Mr. Dwyer's viewpoint in your initial discussion.
I didn't change my opinion of the first one.
Thank you, Randy. No, I think it's a fitting award as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC2, on August 29 of 2013, Coteau Properties Company filed revision number 40 to surface coal mining permit, NACT. Oh, wait, I didn't make the motion yet, did I? Mr. Chairman, I move the commission approve revision number 40 to surface coal mining permit NACT 9501 held by Coteau Properties Company to delete 39.98 acres that have not been disturbed by mining activities.
Second.
The land just described in the motion is being deleted from the permit because coal removal has been completed in this permit area, and the area proposed to be deleted is undisturbed, is not needed during the reclamation phase. Reclamation staff inspected the acreage proposed for deletion on September 6th of this year to verify that the parcel has not been disturbed by mining or reclamation-related activities.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC3, I move the commission rescind the September 11, 2013 motion adopting order granting request to discontinue business and adopt the September 25th, 2013 order granting request to discontinue business in case number GE-13-777 Riverland Ag Corporation, a facility-based grain buyer of Wahpeta, North Dakota, to discontinue business effective October 1st, 2013. What has happened here? I was quite confused by the rescinding and then doing it over again, and this explanation will explain RC4 as well. But what happened here was one company stopped doing business and another started. They expected the transfer date to be September 15th, and it would be a clean and simple transfer because there would be no grain involved. The grain was not able to be shipped out by that date, and so they actually suspended the transfer until October 1st, by then the grain will be out of there and the transfer will be clean. And so we're basically rescinding it as of September 15th and passing it now, hopefully, as of October 1st.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC4, I move the commission rescind the September 11, 2013 motion adopting order granting license application and adopt the September 25, 2013 order granting license application in case number GE-13-778 Minn Kota Ag Products Incorporated, a facility-based grain buyer of Wahpeta, North Dakota, with a license application effective October 1st of 2013.
Second.
And you heard the explanation.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC5, I move the commission close out contract number AM-673-13 with Martin Construction Incorporated for completion of the 2013 Havelock C abandoned mine lands construction project.
Second.
This project involved the backfilling of about 2,000 feet of high walls and mine pits at an abandoned surface mine in Hedinger County. Martin Construction was required to backfill and reclaim approximately 16 acres at this abandoned mine. Approximately 198,000 cubic yards of spoil material was to be moved. Work on the project began on June 20th and was completed July 30th. Project manager Mark Cannell and construction inspector Ray Kelch supervised the project work and determined that all conditions of the contract were completed. The contracted work was completed for a cost of $247,438.80, slightly more than the original contract amount due to a change order that was issued for some extra work. Final payment has been made to Martin Construction.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC6, I move the commission close out contract number AM 2013-674-13 with Barranco Brothers Incorporated for completion of the 2013 Richter Abandoned Mine Lands Construction Project.
Second.
This project involved the backfilling of about 2,000 feet of high walls and mine pits and an abandoned surface mine in Morton County, northeast of Glen Allen. Barranco was required to backfill and reclaim, in this case, about 45 acres at this abandoned mine. Approximately 130,000 cubic yards of spoil material was to be moved. Work on the project began July 10th and was completed August 13th. Project manager Mark Canal and construction inspector Ray Kell supervised the project and determined that all conditions of the contract were completed. The contracted work was completed for a total cost of $261,682.50, in this case slightly less than the original contract amount, and final payment has been made to Barranco Brothers.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion?
I just want to just thank the AML division. We sometimes forget about how busy those guys and gals are up there. But the I was just at a meeting here just the other day, and they were talking about the praises of the AML division out there doing all the work. I mean, every day they're out there doing the things, and we've got an excellent division. We actually had a strategic planning meeting last week where I spent some time with the AML division, and you know, they've got the plans out there for many years, what they're going to be fixing and repairing. And you know, back to our discussion about the wind farms, it's good that we're putting these things back to the way they need to be. But, you know, my concern going forward is not what we have going on now. It's just when this current funding line ends for the AML program, where we're going to be with what actually the sinkholes that are out there. And that'll be a decision for those in the commission at that time. But I think these sinkholes will be around for a long time, longer than the current funding stream allows for. So it's something we'll have to cross down that road.
Is there further discussion? Since none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC7, I move the commission authorize staff to issue change orders to increase the amount of contract number AM-679-13 with Pleasant & Sons Construction Incorporated up to $150,000 for sinkhole filling and other maintenance work at abandoned coal mines.
Second.
Well, your previous comments, Mr. Chairman, were very fitting, and here's an opportunity to get even more done. So this project primarily involves the excavation and filling of sinkholes that were formed due to the collapse of abandoned underground coal mines. Work on the project began in August, and so far about 100 sinkholes have been filled at six sites. Due to the wet conditions earlier this year, new sinkholes had formed this spring and summer at most sites, and these were filled as well. Work under this contract will resume the week of September 23rd, and this fall's work should be completed by mid to late October. In addition, some erosion repair work at the former Beechler Valva project site in Ward County will be carried out under this contract. To date, we have spent $69,085 on sinkhole filling, and it appears the remaining just under $31,000 under the contract will not be sufficient to complete the remaining sinkhole filling planned for this year and the repair at the Beechler Valva site. It should be noted that this contract does not end until December 31st of 2014, and we'd like to have funds available under the contract to do some sinkhole filling next spring. We have more than enough federal funds in our current construction grant for the $50,000 increase in this contract, and Pleasant & Sons are willing to do the additional work under the terms of this contract. These change orders would only be issued as needed for work under the contract.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That completes my portfolio. One less item than the BK portfolio.
Thank you, Commissioner. Just a quick question for Jim. When is the AML program funding line done as of now?
As of now, the fee collection will end in 2022.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember that year, but so 2022, so that's some time out. But okay, thank you, Jim. All right, Commissioner Fedorchak, the most efficient commissioner today.
Well, in keeping with our infrastructure theme, my first item is a pipeline. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, and issue certificate of corridor compatibility number 145 and route permit number 157 in Basin Transload LLC's siting application to build a 4-mile, 10-inch diameter crude oil pipeline in Mercer County, North Dakota, case number PU-12-675.
Second.
On May 10th of this year, Basin Transload filed an application for a pipeline permit and corridor certificate for this four-mile, 10-inch diameter pipeline. We held a hearing in Beulah, right? It was in Beulah? On July 29th, a public hearing yes. about this project. The pipeline is the existing pipelines serving this area are for transporting crude are at or near capacity. This project will provide an additional means of transporting Bakken and Three Forks crude oil to an existing rail facility from which the crude oil can then be transported to key markets. The maximum capacity will be 80,000 barrels per day. Construction is planned to be completed in 3 to 5 weeks from the start of construction, and the total estimated cost of the project is $2.5 million. We solicited information from all agencies as required by law, and we received comments from 10 state and federal agencies. They provided input. On October 10th of 2012, the State Historical Preservation Officer concurred with the determination that no historical properties or significant sites will be affected by the project. There are no exclusion areas within the study area. There were 5 wetlands within the study area. Two will be avoided, and three were in the survey area. Two will be avoided, and one remaining wetland will be crossed via horizontal directional drilling. So that didn't require any additional permits. The project will have no significant adverse impacts on the commission's selection criteria. The design, construction, and operation of the crude oil pipeline will be in accordance with the United States Department of Transportation regulations. Basin will participate in the North Dakota One Call excavation notice system. Basin's emergency response plan are included in the project. And they will be performing additional monitoring in the project area where their route traverses some reclaimed mine areas. And that additional monitoring will be done via a flyover once every 2 weeks, and they'll be looking for any sort of disturbances along the pipeline route. And then field personnel will be dispatched to investigate further any and document any observed disturbances to the ground surface. So, in summary, this provides another route for oil to reach the market. It's a short pipeline. It's 4 miles. Relatively speaking, it's short, but it alleviates some key congestion. The capacity is going to be 80,000 barrels per day, which amounts to 29.2 million barrels per year. And at full capacity, this pipeline will eliminate 400 trucks per day off of the roads. It will reduce the need to transport crude oil to this rail facility by truck. The route basically starts from a couple miles south of Zapp to a couple miles east of Zapp, and they expect to begin operations as soon as they can get the go-ahead.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I just want to add 2 thoughts. The company agreed to participate in the Call Before You Dig program, and we had them thoroughly review their emergency response plan as part of this application, and everything appeared to be in order for both those key points as well.
I do want to make one other comment, that there was local support for this project at our hearing, but there was one farmer, rancher, who showed up and was frustrated with some of the operations at that rail facility, and we looked into it, but ultimately determined that his complaints really relate to the operation of the rail facility, and it was outside of the jurisdiction of the siting of this pipeline to that facility. So we've encouraged him to work with his local zoning authorities on relief. They are the ones that permitted the rail facility in the beginning, and that's where he should seek additional relief for his problems. So otherwise, this is a relatively short pipeline, but a valuable addition to our export system.
maybe add two to what Commissioner Fedorchuk said with the concern that was expressed, is we did offer up that if he would send the PSC his exact concerns with the rail facility, we do meet with BNSF and all the carriers in the state on occasion and just informally talk about some of the concerns. What I've met them before about concerns up in the Drake area with crossing. And so to date, he still hasn't said us anything on that, but we would encourage him to do so because we like to have the dialogue with the railroads, even though it's maybe not jurisdictional. They certainly, there are some areas with railroads that are jurisdictional.
I just want to add to both of those statements. Being from that area, you know, I've never been convinced that this was necessarily the best spot that could have been established for a rail facility, but it's the spot that was established, and it's there, and the oil's going to move. And in this current environment, a lot of it's going to move on rail. That's what's working the best. And that's what's going to happen. And really, I think the decision here is a matter of whether we're going to allow the infrastructure to be built to get it to the rail facility by pipeline or by truck. And this pipeline is going to get a lot of trucks off the road and help on some traffic-related issues up there that are serious issues. And not really have impact one way or the other on the problem of that the site is maybe not in the best possible spot. And so I think it is an appropriate move on our part to approve this pipeline.
Is there further discussion? Since you're not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
JF2 is our first motion relating to the filing of a natural gas service rate increase by MDU. I move the commission suspend Montana Dakota Utility Company's a division of MDU Resources rates filed with its natural gas service rate increase application in case number PU-13-803.
Second.
We received an application last week from MDU to increase their rates for natural gas to their customers by 6.4%. This included a 9.5% increase on residential rates and an average of $5.15 per customer, per average residential customer. This is a first time since 2004 that the company has applied for a rate increase in the natural gas area. And it's, according to their information that they filed with us, this is to help cover the main drivers of the case are their gross investment in North Dakota gas operations, which have increased approximately $100 million since their last rate increase, or 76%. And these investments are largely to replace some existing facilities, to bring on new customers, investments in a landfill gas production facility out in Billings that is not currently being recovered in rates. That went operational in December of 2010. New district operation buildings and an automated meter reading system throughout their area. The company has also applied for a 4.2% interim rate increase, which would generate $4.45 million, and we'll be considering that at a later meeting.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Just maybe a point of clarification. One of the things I think the customers, consumers are going to hear, they're going to hear MDU is asking for a rate increase for natural gas. We've got all this natural gas out there. I mean, they're going to hear that. And so what we have to make sure is that we explain to the consumers how the rate case plays out. And the way it's set right now, the fuel adjustment clause allows the price of gas that goes to the customer to adjust based on the price of gas. So that's kind of one component out there. But the company's seeking, like as Commissioner Fedorchuk said, really return from investments they've made. So that's really what we're going to look at. But that, I think, is going to be very challenging to make sure we understand what exactly we're looking at and make sure we explain to the public what exactly they may be asked to pay for. So it's very good that this is in front of us now so we can work through it. But I do see that just that simple, the person at the Senex station is going to hear MDU wants more money because for natural gas, and they're not going to be able to pull it back unless we do a good job of walking everyone through this process. And it'll be a good, thorough process. We'll make sure we schedule plenty of days for the hearings. We'll make sure we schedule plenty of days for the actual there'll be public input session, so it'll be very similar to a rate case. I mean, it is a rate case, very similar to all the electric rate cases we have. So we may there'll be a deadline for intervention. We may see companies that want to intervene in this case. So we've dealt with some electricity cases in the last few years, but this is the first gas case, as Commissioner Fedorchuk pointed out, since 2004. So I look forward to working through this as well.
To add just briefly to that, I think that's a great clarification. It is a little bit counterintuitive when natural gas prices have gone down nationally for customers to be looking at a rate increase. I think that is going to raise some eyebrows. But from what I've looked at the company's application so far, a lot of the increases to cover improvements to their distribution system. And so we'll get into the nuts and bolts, but from the onset, that's what's driving this case.
I'm not quite clear on something, not having the experience of the chairman or the portfolio, as Commissioner Fedorchuk has, but most of our discussion has been about the rate case coming. But what are we really suspending here? They applied for new rates, but they didn't get them, so I don't know what we're
The rates, if we don't take action, the rates would automatically go into effect 30 days after they apply. So this is just a standard procedure. We vote to suspend the rate increase, and then we'll take a separate motion a few weeks from now or whenever staff has time to evaluate their application for interim rates, and we'll take a separate procedure to evaluate those and approve or deny that, and then we'll proceed with the full rate case.
Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Since none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, thank you, Darrell. Commissioner Fedorchuk, anything else?
That concludes my portfolio.
Okay, a couple comments, then we'll open it up for questions. Commission is always pretty busy, but this last couple weeks we've been down to Hettinger for a wind farm hearing on Thunder Spirit. We've completed our hearings on the proposed Basin Electric power line, the 345 kV that loops around the lake. We've been all over the place, it seems like, the last couple weeks. So we've got a lot of things scheduled. Everything's this afternoon. We have a couple informals. And next week, as Commissioner Crisman talked about, we'll be at the Lignite Council as time permits. And I think that's it. Any other announcements?
The bags under my eyes attest to the fact that we've been traveling everywhere and also that my husband's been out of town at the same time. So
kids are happy with all that pizza.
Yeah, mac and cheese.
All right. Commissioner?
Nothing else.
All right, we're happy to open up for any questions.
Since we're on the subject of rate increases, you said that you've finished the hearings now and finished the discussion on the NSP or
Xcel. We did.
When will that come up?
We haven't finished the discussion.
We
finished the hearings.
Yeah, we finished the hearing, and we did our first work session yesterday. And so we went through what I would consider the top 10 controversial issues, and there was I think there was some clarity that was determined between the three commissioners on there's a few things that we agreed on, I think, about I'll give you an example. I won't do that. I'll just say that there are some things that we, I think, agreed on, but we have already, later on today, we're going to schedule the next one of these. But that will proceed as well.
Do you expect that's going to take maybe several weeks yet, or what do you think?
I would think it'd be at least several weeks. You know, a lot could happen on this as we set up in the work session. The companies and the advocacy staff could be working on a full settlement agreement, a partial settlement agreement, or we may be doing this all ourselves, which is fine too. But I think that the next work session that we have, I think we'll probably be looking at starting to prepare our own order once we get more clarity on some of the key issues. Right now we're still waiting for some late-filed exhibits, and yesterday's discussion was we would like to see those late-filed exhibits to help us get clarity on some of those, I consider those really significant issues.
Right. I need to go back to the wind farm for just a moment because Xcel is going to be Xcel involved in all these things.
Correct.
How much does the mandate from Minnesota in terms of the by 2020 having, you know, a certain percentage from renewables, how much is that going to play into your discussions?
Well, I'll speak for the elite farms, which we've just approved today, Bison 4. I mean, that discussion came right up into the, why they're doing it, and they're very candid. They're doing this to meet their Minnesota mandate. But that jurisdiction is a siting jurisdiction, so we're doing the siting. And so for me, I mean, we'll look at the one thing about what we're siting in wind farms, but in the cases of the power purchase agreement, I think the, you know, the law says there's a used and useful component that North Dakota gets. So I think that for me, the biggest point is how may this be used and useful to the North Dakota customer. So there's a practical reality of we're all aware of the Minnesota mandates, but what's used and useful for North Dakota, how it may benefit the customers, at what cost they think. But the ADP hearings, if that's what you're talking about, Dave, those are just to determine the prudency of it, not so much the final cost approval. But I think the for me, the key issue will be show me how these are used and useful to the North Dakota customer, and that'll be the case they'll have to make.
The reason I ask is I'm going to be in Monticello, Minnesota on Friday, and I expect to come back with a real nice, healthy glow.
The nuke plant out there.
Yes, the nuke plant out there.
And you can view the CapEx lines as they're being constructed down the road.
Exactly. And one other thing about the MDU rate increase, 30-day, if you didn't take action in 30 days, the rates would go into effect.
Correct.
What's the state law, and just to refresh my memory, what's the state law about taking action on interim rates?
I'm not sure what that is. Patrick, do you know the time frame on that?
Bailed.
I don't remember the time frame, but the state law provides that the company can request and implement interim rates, and they have requested that. The staff will review the request and see if they've followed the law. The law also sets out kind of the formula on how they're to determine what the level of interim rates would be. But I don't remember if there's a time frame in that.
I was just curious.
We'll check.
Is it?
Okay.
Thinking of it? We can check it out, though.
Sure.
Okay.
David, a thought on interim rates is that we'll get the exact time frame for it. But one thing, rate cases, the commission gets 7 months to do the rate case. That's set in statute. But the interim rates really, I think, give the opportunity for the company to have something that helps offset what they think they're going to need to do their business, but it really takes away that 7 month constraints that the company has an interim rate. We looked at the interim rate, it's fair, but it gives us all the time we need to do the thorough evaluation of the rate case. Where if interim, and then when whatever the case is decided, you may adjust the interim rate up or down, and the customers don't see all of a sudden that impact. And if it's less than the interim, we do a refund. If it's more, there'll be a slight increase perhaps. But the interim rates, I think, are really a good idea for everyone, that we don't have that same pressure of the 7 months to cram it into that time frame. You do the thorough review of it.
Patrick.
Of the answer, I've been told that it's a 60 days.
60 days.
From when they file?
The decision has to be made within that.
Yeah. From when they file or from when we suspend the?
From the filing.
Okay.
Commissioner Crisman, do you remember how you voted on the bill to allow interim rates?
On the what?
On that bill to allow interim rates?
Oh, I don't recall.
I was just curious. Not putting you on the spot. So,
if he didn't vote for it, it probably wouldn't have passed the Senate, so he probably voted for it.
Okay. Got like 20,000 votes down there.
Thank you. That's all I need.
All right. Okay, anything else, commissioners, for the good of the order? All right, let's reconvene at 11:20 for the administrative portion of our meeting. We'll close the formal meeting.